More offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Irv Katz, and welcome to Dial a Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial a Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that now I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this? Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Dial a Dork. You may reach us here, 216-578-1300. Call us, talk about anything geek-worthy that you might have on your mind. Computer troubleshooting, Revenge of the Sith. You name it. You can also email us those same questions at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. Or you can call us, or you can email us. And, okay, so that pretty much takes care of that. If you do happen to go over to the Dial-A-Dork website, dialadork.com, hyphenated, you should click on the I Listen button and let us know that you are out there listening so that we can make a compelling presentation to advertisers. We need money, folks! All right, I am joined tonight in the studio by Dork Almighty Matt Minar.
May the force be with you all.
Always. And I'm also joined by Dewey the Answer Man, Drew Ivan. How are you?
Hello, Cleveland.
Hello, Cleveland, indeed. We are joined in the booth by our stalwart phone screener and resident evil
spam
Yoko the Architect. And of course, working the board is Jeremy, and we thank him for that. And we are here to address what is just the biggest dork news in a long time, Revenge of the Sith. We were there. Some of you were there. You saw us there.
Everyone was there.
I wasn't there.
Well, you weren't there.
You were there in spirit, though. We saw the blue glowing outline of you.
By the way, I just want to give a shout out to Russ, who may be listening via IceCast on his cell phone link up. I think he's stuck in Cape Cod or something.
With the blue hairs?
Oh, Atlantic City.
Oh, there we go.
Don't talk about his grandparents that way. And we also want to give a shout out to Amitai, who is out in, I believe he made it to Berlin now. He did not make he had a technical difficulty, so we don't have a report from him this week. But that's okay, because we have a great deal of material to go through, so it's really okay. And of course, we want to give a shout out to Senor Crapple, who
has moved to California.
Who has moved to California. We hope he's doing well. I hope he's happy.
Don't forget Dan.
Oh, my God.
How could we forget Dan?
Dan, the master Googler, who may or may not be listening right now in Chicago, but he certainly paid for the show, didn't he?
Thank you, Dan, for your contribution.
Thank you very much, Dan. This one goes out for you, buddy. All right, well, let's just jump. What? All right, let's jump right into Revenge of the Sith. And
we have a vote here.
Before we even talk about that, we're going to listen to Yoko the Architect's man on the street type interviews that she did down at the Cinemark Valley View prior to the midnight show on Wednesday night. And so we're going to hear those in just a minute. But after that, we're going to give our impressions of the film. And the question is, spoilers or no spoilers?
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Every nerd worth his salt has seen the movie already. Our audience has seen the movie already. We can't spoil it for them.
I know, but the thing is I hate to give some sort of disclaimer that might cause a potential listener to tune into something else during our show because he doesn't want to hear spoilers.
You know, you can't please everybody all the time.
All right, you know what? It's unanimous. Spoilers. Spoilers it will be. But the first thing is let's take a listen to some of the really cool people who were at the Cinemark Valley View in their full regalia, full dress.
We should give a shout out to the 501st.
Well, actually, that's true. We're going to hear from a couple members of the 501st. In fact, Now that you mention it, that is the YWOW. That'd be Yoko's website of the week.
Oh, my God.
Do we have a sound effect for that at all?
We should get like a slide whistle. Like, YWOW. Boing. The websites of the week, it's a dual honor this week. 501st.com. That's 501st.com. And their sister site, RebelLegion.com. And that's two L's, RebelLegion.com.
There were some really cool people.
Yeah, there were some excellent costumes, some of those $100 lightsabers. It was good stuff. Yeah. So we're going to listen to some of these quotes, some members of the 501st, a couple of members of Rebel Legion, and we'll finish up with Dory's own, we'll call it Attack of the Cloaks.
Oh, no.
Because she went on a rampage trying to figure out where these fools get their cloaks. I don't know what's up with that, but Dory's got a cloak thing going on.
Does she have a fetish for cloaks? Well, do you wear a cloak in the bedroom?
Well, I would if I thought it would help.
Let's roll the interviews.
Hey, yeah, let's go. Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and roll track number one? This is Darth Vader.
Your voice. Let me hear your best Darth Vader voice.
Call me to the dark side. I am Darth Vader.
That's really good. Do you have, like, any help from your equipment there, or is that your voice?
Oh, this is my voice.
Now, this is a very impressive costume. You got the whole, like, light-up chest button thing going on. I actually want to touch them because they're blinking at me. And you've got the helmet, the whole regalia. Where did you get this costume?
I got it online.
And how much is a full-on Darth Vader with the boots and everything? Like, how much does that go for?
About $1,200.
Holy moly. Now, do you wear this out, like, for parties, Halloween, or what occasions is this good for?
Every day.
Is this how you go to work?
Oh, yeah.
Indeed. I mean, hey, Darth Vader goes to work. That's his uniform, baby.
You know, thank God that nerds in general make a decent amount of money, because we could never afford these hobbies.
Well, no doubt. I mean, if you noticed, like during Revenge of the Nerds, they had to be rich. They got that robot. They threw these unbelievable parties. They had Wonder Joints. It was unbelievable. And remind me, Yoko, to put some sort of like blinking lights on my
cloak.
On my, you know. Because if that makes you want to reach out and touch it.
Let's roll the next interview.
Okay. Track number two, Jeremy.
All right. So we're here with 1300 AM, which is Dial a Dork, Monday nights at 9. What's your name?
Cindy.
And Cindy, I see that you've gotten yourself up into a very detailed Stormtrooper outfit. Where did you get the costume?
Actually from a friend on the 501st.
What is the 501st?
It is the Imperial Stormtroopers.
Is that a division?
We're known as Vader's Sith.
Look at this group. Do you know those people? There's a whole crowd of lightsaber-carrying people that has walked by.
Unfortunately, no.
They're not part of the 501, is what you said?
No, they're not part of the 501st.
The 501st. So, does he own this, or did he rent this, or did he make it, or how did he come up with it?
I actually assembled this all myself.
Really?
Cost me about $1,000 once I'm said and done. I'm still putting modifications on it because I still find things that are not right.
There were a number of things that weren't right, but that's okay. Yoko, put on your microphone.
Well, I love the ambiance piece in that.
That's
in
true.
That
there was a lot of stuff going on in the background. Yoko, you weren't making fun of that young woman, were you?
No, I will say that I had many cocktails to prepare for the interview process, and I was just delighted to talk to everybody. And how can you not giggle before a full-on stormtrooper?
I'm sure everybody has their own individual reactions when confronted with a stormtrooper. But what I want to know is, I understand you met another stormtrooper, and he went to great lengths to get his costume to fit.
Yes, I actually got to meet a guy that's in the Navy, and he was also a member of the 501st out of Akron. Apparently, this is an entire brigade of stormtroopers that congregate in Akron and go out and do charity work, and they are very dedicated. And I think it's kind of funny that they're evil empire folks, but they do good work. I thought that was ironic. But yes, he assembled his stormtrooper outfit, and he explained to me that it was from the molds from the original costumes of the movies back in the first series of movies that they purchased online or purchased from vendors, and that the actors that wore these stormtrooper outfits were very tall generally, and that most people, when they buy the outfit, have to, quote, Dremel them down to make them fit. So you actually take Dremel tools to grind down the joints so that they don't pinch you. So I thought that was pretty interesting that they have to custom fit their stormtrooper uniforms.
A lot of dedication going on there.
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate they're just not clones, you know. They can't all be the same size.
Can't all be this, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? The other thing is that if you go to 501st.com, you will see that their most recent convention, I think some 800 or hundreds of stormtroopers in full costume showed up. If you look at the big group picture, it's unbelievable. There's like 500 stormtroopers, 20 Vaders. So they're in the back of the picture. There's like four sand people, and they're all holding up their sticks like, you know, like that in the back. It's really hilarious. What's that?
Well, I will say that there was at least 7 or 8 full-on stormtroopers at the opening at Valley View, and they were all from the 501st, totally representing.
Oh, absolutely, the 501st got down, no doubt about it. All right, speaking of the 501st, we got another member. Let's hear track number 3.
So I'm here with Boba Fett. And a very impressive costume. I have to say, very realistic. And are you part of the 501st as well?
Uh-huh.
Now, so the 501st, at first I thought was just stormtroopers. Is this all kinds of Star Wars regalia?
It's pretty much all kinds, but we try to keep it to the evil Empire or Imperial people, but we're open to really everybody.
So Boba Fett is really affiliated. You think he's truly evil Empire? I mean, I know he's kind of like an independent, I thought.
Boba Fett works only for himself.
And that guy knows what he's talking about. That is true.
That's a mercenary attitude.
That's right. And by the way, his costume was unbelievable, and his voice was muffled in that clip because it was from behind the helmet. You know, the helmets don't come off for the interviews, let me tell you. And that guy was covered in dirt as well. I mean, it looked like he had just gotten back from some
Tatooine.
Sort of assassination mission, yeah, on Tatooine or something. All right, now switching over. Now, I don't know if this guy is a member of the Rebel Legion, but maybe someday he will be. We'll hear from a young Obi-Wan Kenobi here on track number 4. Roll
it. What's your character?
I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You have no braid or anything. Are you young Obi-Wan, or are you old Obi-Wan?
I am young Obi-Wan.
So from which episode? Episode 1?
Episode, yeah, 1.
Okay, now he's got the braid. Yeah, obligatory.
We left the braid back in Twinsburg.
Broke it. Found it on the ground in my car.
So now, what do you guys think of episode 1 and 2?
I liked them. They weren't as good as the last 3, but they were good.
What are your expectations for this movie tonight?
It's going to be off the hook.
I hear it's supposed to be the best of the first 2, and I like the fact that you use a street lingo.
Yeah, I never really actually say off the hook. I don't know why I said that.
I think we got some street kind of credibility in this broadcast now.
That's right. And it was off the hook. There's no doubt about it. I really loved it. I mean, it was definitely, you know, it wasn't Shakespeare by any stretch of the imagination, but it was vastly more entertaining than 1 and 2. No doubt about it.
I can only agree with that. The story that was told in episode 3 was just so much far superior to episodes 1 and 2.
And this comes back to something that I was talking about before. Maybe it would have been better had, you know, a few years ago, Lucas done part 3 before he did part 1 and 2, did part 3, and then did part 2, and then did part 1. Because it was just really hard to give a crap about anything in part 1, and part 2 for that matter. Anyway, moving on to the next one. This is the next 2 tracks are the same guy, the Emperor, and we'll hear what he has to say. He definitely had a little smack to talk, so track 5, please.
Were you involved in any conflict tonight?
Just a little bit.
Now, who did you combat with tonight?
Darth Vader.
The Emperor and Darth Vader. Does the Emperor and Darth Vader really fight in this movie right now, this number 3 movie?
Well, he's my Padawan. I have to train him.
Oh, so this is like sort of like a training. Because I know like in Return of the Jedi, there's a fight, kind of. But when do you think the Emperor really puts down the lightsaber for good?
I think he never really put it down. He can always pull it out when he's ready to.
Well, he has the lightning fingers, though. I mean, like, when do you think he went from, like, lightsaber to lightning fingers? I mean, I'm...
That's my most dangerous attack.
No doubt about it. The lightning fingers are... They're pretty tough to deal with, man. Only person that can effectively deal with them, I think, is Yoda. And all he can really do is reflect them.
Well,
kind of absorb them, you know.
Spoiler warning. Mace Windu was able to deflect it with his lightsaber in episode 3.
Yeah, Mace Windu was kind of a badass.
Yeah, he was a great swordsman.
Was he always bald? Because he had to have the little ponytail at some point, right? Or
I don't think so.
Don't the Padawans have to have the little thing, or is that something else?
I mean, you don't see any of the Twi'lek babes who are Jedis have any ponytails, so...
Twi'lek babes. All right, let's hear from the Emperor one more time. Track number 6.
How did Yoda elude you tonight? He ends up on Dagobah somewhere all cracked out and just, like, kind of hiding.
He figured he couldn't beat me, so he hightailed like a little, you know what.
He's just there. He's eating combos, like, for the next couple 20 years, and then...
Well, if you read the Star Wars novels, it's a dark side cave. It kind of hid him within the Force, so I couldn't sense him while he was on Dagobah.
Oh, okay. But you must have, like, scared him off somehow. Tonight, in this movie.
Yeah, Yoda would be like, I have failed. That's what Yoda would say.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Yoda was a bad MF when he was fighting, what was this guy's name in number 2?
Dooku.
That's right. He was spinning and flying around. And you're going to beat that. How do you defeat Yoda, do you think?
Force lightning, of course.
You think it's going to be lightning fingers? Oh, yeah. Is it what's going to make the appearance tonight? You think it's going to, like, zap him?
Oh, yeah. Because Yoda got nothing against him. You don't want none of this.
Yeah, that Emperor was fired up. And now correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall during Empire Strikes Back that Yoda had a stash of combos on Dagobah there, Yoko.
Come on, that's product placement. We're trying to get some sponsorship
well, okay, fine.
Money there.
And this, you know, tonight's Style Dork is brought to you by combos. They're this. What's the tagline for combos?
The official snack of Dagobah.
Oh, that's right. They're Dagobah good. What, Yoko? What?
Well, I mean, you got to think about it. Yoda is like the head of the Jedi, and he has one fight, and he goes and hides on Dagobah, and he becomes like this giggly little monkey that like cracks us up in Empire Strikes Back. How did that happen?
I think it was an act. I think he was acting like a goofball to see what Luke's reaction would be.
Yeah, he'd be living in hiding for years at that point and would be wary of any... you know, person with the Force who showed up, whether they be good or bad, and Sith could still be hunting him.
Ah, oh, man, he knows what's going on. He's got Obi-Wan on the glow machine.
He couldn't even sense that, you know, Padme had twins, so I don't know what's up with him.
He couldn't?
No, he didn't seem to.
All right, well, okay, he's a hell of a Jedi. Lousy obstetrician.
And he would not say, I have failed. He would say, failed, I have.
Dilated 3 centimeters, you are. Okay, now let's hear part one of Yoko's search for cloaks.
So your Yoda costume is quite impressive. Can you tell me a little bit about what you got on?
I'm just wearing a robe, and I have my mask. It's kind of nice. I like it.
But that's not your bathrobe. I mean, that's like a robe that was like designed for this purpose. I mean, where did you get that robe?
Actually, I found it at a store. I was just searching around for costume ideas and stuff, and I found it. So
it was like a costume store. Did you get the mask from a costume store as well?
Yes, I did.
So, okay, so that's the start.
That guy was beat red when he took that mask up because it was a full head.
Yeah.
Rubber, latex, whatever.
Latex head, definitely.
He's like, I can't breathe.
Breathe? I can't. Track number 8.
Now, are you the Emperor, or are you supposed to be Anakin?
I'm the Emperor.
You're the Emperor?
I'm the Emperor.
Oh, wow. Now, where did you get your cloak? Because we've been wondering where to shop for cloaks.
It is an old Grim Reaper costume that I have modified.
That's pretty innovative. So, and your lightsaber, I really need to know where you got that from.
Master Yoda lent it to me.
Matt Studio, you said?
Master Yoda.
Master Yoda. Okay, so Master Yoda, Dustin, where did you get the lightsaber?
I found it. I've had it for years.
I mean, is this like an authentic, like, first series, like, episode 4 lightsaber? Yeah. I mean, you're talking like 19, cool. Circa, like,
1980.
That is the way all my lightsabers were when I was a little kid. Oh, my goodness. And so you guys are about to engage. There is a Darth Vader over there.
We're about to battle here real quick.
We're going live in like 2 minutes.
May the Force be with you all.
Well, thank you very much.
That was pretty cool that the TV station was on site and they were taping the
TV stations.
Sons.
There were 3 or 4 of them.
True, but only one seemed to be actually taping the saber combat.
What a bunch of scene whores!
If I had my lightsaber, I would have done it too. But
yeah, absolutely, there were some interesting choreographed fights going on there. It was pretty cool. All right, next track, Jeremy.
Okay, so you're playing Qui-Gon, and what's the last name?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Do you think that's really his last name? Like, there's like a whole Jin clan, or just his Qui-Gon?
I'm not sure. I'm not that educated.
You've been researching your character, like, religiously?
Oh, no. My mommy made my costume.
It's a very impressive costume. I've been wondering where people get their cloaks from, because we were drinking at the bar. We all wish we had cloaks. We didn't know where to get cloaks. Where do you get cloaks?
Mommy.
Indeed.
Cloaks come from mommies.
I have a feeling that a lot of the folks there got stuff from mommy. That, all right. Ah, boy. Stuff just comes out wrong sometimes. Moving along, track number 10.
So your emperor costume, I have to say, is pretty impressive. We've been wondering, where do you get a good cloak in town?
Well, there's a website called otterrobes.com. That's where I got mine from.
It's a very high-quality cloak, and I noticed that your friend here has also got a cloak. And did you find this on the same website, or did you find this locally?
I got it from my brother-in-law.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Well, you know, it works, though.
Well, thank Dory's like the Mr. Blackwell of the Star Wars giving fashionista tips. Well,
I just want to know, does she have one now? I mean, it's been a week.
Almost, anyway. Well, no, she hasn't got it yet, but now I think she's got a couple leads on some high-quality cloakage. I like how she says, where can you get good cloak in this town? I get a nice 8-ball of cloak. It'd be wonderful. What? I know an old joke about that, about a guy goes in a taxi in Boston, and he asks the driver, where can I get scrod around here? And the taxi driver says, I've been asked that question a million times, but never in the pluperfect subjunctive. All right. Okay, last one, Jeremy.
I've been asking everyone, where did you get your cloak?
I got it at the Odyssey in Bainbridge.
So you guys just went and like raided that store. Do they have anything left at all for the rest of us?
Not probably, I don't know.
And your lightsaber is that? Oh, you got the double.
Yeah.
That's definitely not an original 70s version. This is something new.
Yeah, I got
my dog.
One of the first new ones came out, I got this.
Could you whip that out? we gotta see it whipped out.
I tell you what, after Dory has some cloak, she just starts telling people to whip it out. So that's pretty much what it comes down to. All right, we are going to be cutting away to a break because Lord knows I need one, and I think everybody else does too. And so I hear the music. Thank the good Lord. We'll be back after this with our informal review of the spoiler-laden review of the Sith. And maybe we'll talk about online security. Or maybe we won't. I don't know. Who cares? All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Cleveland Public Theater and Tidal Wave Theater present Stone Cold Dead Serious, the honest, funny, surreal story of the Ledbetters, a clan of dropouts, junkies, and QVC addicts. You know, just your average dysfunctional family. Only their teenage son can save them from themselves by winning $1 million playing a real-life version of a computer game, or at least, he'll battle to the death trying. Written by America's next great playwright, Adam Rapp, Stone Cold Dead Serious is another high-octane ride from CPT and Tidal Wave Theater, co-producers of last year's Wait and Charge. Stone Cold Dead Serious opens Friday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. and runs through June 18th. Tickets are $15 and discounts are available. Call the box office at 216-631-2727 or just go to cptonline.org and get serious about video games.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be the new world champion!
Check it out, Cleveland. WERE has got sports all wrapped up. That's right, tune in to Sports Wrap 1300 every night at 11 here on WERE. It's a hip, fast-paced, in-depth look at the sports world from local to national, amateur to professional. We've got something to say about everything, and I'm sure you do too. We'll put it down live on the air Monday through Friday, 11 to midnight, with exciting interviews, up-to-the-minute sports reports, and our radio roundtable keeps the ball bouncing. To join in, tune in weeknights at 11 and call 216-578-1300, Sports Wrap 1300.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's KOMM Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
When you went to Adams, you might have been called a spaz or a dork or a geek.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
All right, we are back, and we are going to give you the spoiler-laden breakdown of Revenge of the Sith. So, I hate to say this, but if you haven't seen the movie yet, if you don't want to hear the spoilers, oh, God, change the station.
No, don't change the station. Just close your ears.
Okay, that's right. Just close your ears. And turn down the damn music. All right, so basically, first and foremost, I think it's unanimous. The movie gets thumbs up pretty much across the board. There are a few, malcontents, Scott Heron, and that didn't like the movie and refused to like the movie and won't allow themselves to like the movie. But for the most part, it was a pretty wild ride and it was fun.
Actually, just in his defense, he's never seen any of them. He's just boycotting the whole thing. So we can't say he doesn't like it.
Well, look,
but I'll tell you what, just because that dude Anthony Lane from The New Yorker, now that guy,
he went too far. Did he go too far?
He was off the hook.
Look, just because George Lucas,
I love his the first criticism that comes to mind is he's like, how did he come up with that word Sith? Does that evoke images of terror in us?
Or does it sound like something leaking?
Or does it sound like that sound you make when you hold one nostril closed and blow through the other one?
That's just unfounded nitpickery. At its
worst. I would
say
so too. And the word Sith, at least for me, evokes, kind of images of either like a snake-like kind of thing going on there. And those have traditionally been kind of scary. Not to mention the whole Egyptian mythology angle of the god Set or Seth, who was the god of evil. I mean, you got some origins there, and it's certainly no worse than like demon or
so
orc
which
or
one
troll.
Was which one was Horus?
He was the one who killed Seth, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, did you like the movie, Matt?
I totally dug it. I've seen it twice myself already.
All right, now I have to agree to a certain extent that I thought that he really needed to do a little bit more to. Okay, well, here's the problem. In number two, they never, in my opinion, properly established the chemistry, or there just wasn't any chemistry between Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman. So it's really hard to believe it in episode three that he is going to just, turn his whole world upside down and betray everything to save her when you just don't even really feel that heat between them. And I think that's partly a fault of Lucas's dialogue, probably. What?
There's actually several years between episode two and episode three. And if you watch the cartoons on Cartoon Network, they filled in that story a little bit between those two movies. And one of the threads they followed was the relationship between Anakin and Padme. So if you didn't see the cartoons, yeah, it might look a little bit jarring. But on the other hand, I think if you saw them, or if you're willing to accept that there's things that you didn't see in the, I don't know how many years between the two movies, then it makes a little bit of sense.
Well, and actually that was one of the things on nitpickers.com, which I guess might be another website of the week. Nitpickers.com is a home for everybody who has a little beef with a movie, and they all get kind of logged there and confirmed or refuted. But anyway, one of the things they said is that this movie finally allowed people to establish the ages of many of the characters who appeared in episodes 4, 5, and 6, and they're actually saying that they were too young in this movie. They needed to be a little bit older. Like Obi-Wan in episode 4 looks like he's, you know, somewhere in his 60s or something like that. But if there's, you know, if Luke's about somewhere 20 or so in episode 4, and he's just born
now. Do we have to do math?
Yes, you got to do math. You're a nerd. You can do math.
Okay.
Then, you know, you've got 20 years, and, you know, Ewan McGregor is looking like he's maybe 30 at this point. So,
all right. Well,
got a couple of age things to work out there.
Anachronism or something like that, kind of. All right, we've got a couple emails. And by the way, if you've got something to say, email us right away or give us a call here, 216-578-1300. Say what you got to say, love it or hate it. We want to hear from you. And we got a couple emails here. Aaron in Avon says he loved episode 3, but who was the half-man, half-robot general who took over for Dooku? I'm confused.
Well, that was General Grievous. Yeah, he didn't take over for Dooku. He was the general, you know, of the droid armies underneath Dooku.
And that he actually played a big role in the cartoons on Cartoon Network.
Sure did.
They did a lot with him. And so you wouldn't be so confused if you had seen the cartoons.
Tune in.
Is that going to be your answer to everything?
I think it might be. The DVD is available if you hit Amazon.com or CartoonNetwork.com.
Okay.
Did they? Is it a compilation of all three Cartoon Network seasons?
I think it is. And they played the seasons like over the weekend before the movie came out. And you could watch them all in 1 3-hour shot, which I accidentally did when I was supposed to be getting ready for my trip to Salt Lake City.
Oops.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, so this General Grievous guy, he is actually half man, half robot? Is that basically correct?
I don't
remember
seeing that in the cartoon, but it was very clear in the movie that he was like a robot with pink parts.
Kind of like my Jawa real doll. Yoko, by the way, is demanding tribute from the 501st, and they demand that a representative call in immediately I don't know, represent. It's basically that. All right, we got another email. Emily in Erie, how many they can get this in Erie? Unbelievable. How many characters were computer generated in episodes 1, 2, and 3? Well, a lot. You know, Jar Jar Binks, for instance.
I was gonna say, let's go through the major ones because
I assume Grievous
background. You know, characters were too numerous to count.
Well, right. So we're gonna go ahead and say 42,317.
Yeah, the entire Gungan army in episode 2 was computer generated.
I think the whole robot
the
army.
The whole droids, yeah.
Most of the large scale scenes of the clone army,
mm-hmm.
those are all computer generated. Because, I mean, there's probably only like 3 of that actor in the world.
Yoda was computer generated. That's probably the biggest one.
Which is really disappointing to me.
Why?
Because I love Muppets.
Well, everybody and loves Muppets.
He was a great little Muppet. He was like somewhere between like Gonzo and Fozzie with
Grover,
Grover and the Mastery of the Force.
Yeah, but could you imagine, as Yoko alluded to earlier, having a Muppet twirl around, flip around with a lightsaber, you know, battling Count Dooku in episode 2? Not to mention against the Emperor Palpatine here in episode 3.
And Dory, Yoko's right that he sounded a little bit like Skeksis as well.
Please. Peas.
Skeksis want peas.
Give us the essence. Essence. Gelfling.
Gelfling. All right. So let's see. Yoda, Grievous, Jar Jar.
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt. Well, wait.
Yeah, Jabba the Hutt was a CGI.
But he wasn't
CGI
in 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, he was.
Did you see the movies?
He presided over the Padres.
The Padres?
The pod race.
Not the podlings, the pod racers.
No, wait, the San Diego Padres were in episode one? He looked
don't
over.
Don't you remember?
Oh, Jawa did look over the pod race, didn't he? Was it two? Or, no, it was number one.
Yeah,
it was number one.
Oh, were there two huts, you mean? Yeah, well, Jeremy, go ahead and get on the mic.
Jeremy wants to know.
Yeah, go ahead and put Jeremy on the mic. Go ahead.
Okay, Jeremy, here you go.
Yeah, in episode one, wasn't it two Jabba the Hutts during the pod racing scene? Wasn't it two of them?
There was another hut. I can't recall the name, but I thought maybe it was Mrs. Hutt.
Mrs. Hutt. It was Pizza the Hutt from Spaceballs. No, I think he's right, actually. I think he's right. It's been a while since I've watched that one because it hurts me to watch it, so I don't watch too often. Now I'm going to have to go back and take a look, and I want to see Mrs. Hutt and her.
She's hot.
And her slime trail. can you think of any other major CGI-generated characters from the first part of the sextet sexology? No?
Man, those cloaks have really gotten to you, haven't they?
Oh, man, I'm high on cloak right now. Oh, good. Thank God. Another break. We need them.
I think that's about it.
This really has not been a very good review of Revenge of the Sith, in my opinion.
It's awesome. Go see it.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If you saw episode two and you saw episode four, you can write the script for episode three yourself. You know everything that has to happen to connect up the two movies. And even though it went pretty much as you would expect, it was still enjoyable to watch, even though you could pretty much tell what the content of the movie was going to be beforehand. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about it.
Well, I enjoyed the interpretation of Anakin's turn to the dark side.
That had a lot of potential for not being very good.
Yeah,
it really wasn't great. I still think it wasn't great, but it was good enough. I guess I could sort of see how, Palpatine using his sort of
his force suggestions.
He definitely toyed with Anakin. There's no doubt about it.
He owned him.
Yeah, he did.
He owned him indeed.
He hacksawed
Anakin in a major way. All right, well, look, when we come back, if we feel like it, we'll talk about Star Wars some more, or, oh, God, God forbid, we'll talk about online security, but
if
I don't really want to.
If you missed the spoilers, now's your cue to tune back in.
Yeah, you can come back in. Listen to our commercials anyway. We're gone.
Cleveland Public Theater and Tidal Wave Theater present Stone Cold Dead Serious, the honest, funny, surreal story of the Ledbetters, a clan of dropouts, junkies, and QVC addicts. You know, just your average dysfunctional family. Only their teenage son can save them from themselves by winning $1 million playing a real-life version of a computer game, or at least, he'll battle to the death trying. Written by America's next great playwright, Adam Rapp, Stone Cold Dead Serious is another high-octane ride from CPT and Tidal Wave Theater, co-producers of last year's Wait and Charge. Stone Cold Dead Serious opens Friday, June 3rd at 8 p.m. and runs through June 18th. Tickets are $15 and discounts are available. Call the box office at 216-631-2727 or just go to cptonline.org and get serious about video games.
Boy, I love wrestling.
Then you should play IWA.
What's the IWA?
The Imaginary Wrestling Association. It's the greatest fun since wrestling itself. You create a wrestler, manage his career, and compete against other wrestlers from around the world for championship titles and prizes. The IWA lets you trash talk and do sneak attacks. They even have specialty matches.
Well, that sounds great. How do I get started?
Go to playiwa.com. You could be
the new world champion.
Join us every Sunday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for primetime polkas here on WERE 1300 AM. Our polka family of Richie, Sharon, Melvin, Ginger, Al, and Marianne would like to invite you and your family to spend Sunday evenings with us from 6 to 7 p.m. for polka music, the community bulletin board, oh yeah, polka music, guests, giveaways, excuse me, did we mention polka music? And a good time. Don't forget primetime polka 6 to 7 p.m. every Sunday evening here on People Power WERE 1300 AM.
Hi, I'm nobody in particular, and I'd like to ask you a question. Are you dissatisfied with your current IT service provider? And by that I mean, is your computer guy a jerk? Are you paying $100 an hour, $125 or more for IT service? In other words, is your computer guy ripping you off? Does your computer guy leave more problems than he fixes? Essentially, does he know what the heck he's doing? Call the Comm Group today and get the level of service you desire at the price you deserve, with in-home rates as low as $50 an hour and in-office rates as low as $75. That's K-O-M-M Group at 216-556-0141. That's 216-556-0141 or kommgroup.com. Don't be scared. Call the Comm Group.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork.
We know you're not on the phone with a girl, so call us instead at 216-578-1300. And now, back to Dial-A-Dork.
All right, so here we are, back again. Anything else to say about ROTS?
Just one more thing. A couple of the highlights. The opening minutes of the film are fantastic. They give you the true impression like you are just two Jedi and two starfighters zipping through this amazingly huge planetary siege with capital starships and frigates and droids, and you know, it's just this massive scenery.
You can't say frigate on the air.
I can't say frigate?
No, I think you can, actually.
I think I can.
You know, it also reiterated what Obi-Wan said in episode 4, that Anakin Skywalker was the greatest pilot in the galaxy.
Yeah.
He is the man. Well, no doubt about that.
I'd have to admit that that's the case. Everybody knows about the whole lava scene, and I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, it was great.
Great concept.
All the fights really were dynamite.
Were first class.
And yeah. I just want to, if you recall, several weeks ago when we were talking about the movie on this very show, I had a discussion with a caller. We agreed that if Jar Jar got his head lopped off with a lightsaber, that everything would be forgiven for the first two. And you know what? It didn't happen.
Actually, but this was Jar Jar's best appearance ever.
That's true. He appeared for about 2 seconds, and he was very somber, and he didn't say a damn thing.
And his head wasn't bobbing around, and his ears flapping all over
the
place.
He wasn't at Padme's funeral saying, oh, there's a spoiler.
What?
He wasn't at Padme's funeral saying, me so sad.
Actually, some of the people on Nitpickers were like, you know, Padme can't die because in episode 6, Luke talking to Leia when Luke's trying to tell her that, you know, he's her brother. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, do you have any memories of your mother? And she's like, I remember she was pretty but sad.
But she thinks her mother is Jimmy Smith's wife.
And that's exactly, the whole nitpick was refuted because Leia was never told that, you know, she was anybody other than the Organa's,
daughter. I'm pretty sure that Jimmy Smith's hair was CGI.
Really?
Marge from Menor wants to know, are there any family-friendly Star Wars video games?
I'd say all of them
probably.
Are, actually.
I haven't played any.
One of the original, well, one of the earlier ones, TIE Fighter, came out, and that's pure space combat. You know, TIE Fighters blowing up X-Wings and vice versa. There's no blood, guts, and gore or saber battles where you can lop somebody's head off or anything like that. If you're okay with, you know, doing vehicle damage to people, then, you know, that's not a problem.
I have a small nitpick with Revenge of the Sith, which was that it just seemed like people were able to go from one end of the galaxy to the other in about, oh, I don't know, 5 seconds.
The cartoon explains that.
I knew you were going to say that. Well, go ahead. What does it say?
It doesn't.
It says that hyperdrive rocks.
Well, it's just like how, you know, I mean, Anakin is out on, what, some outer rim system or whatever, way the hell out there.
The Mustafar system.
And he's going to, you know, he's going to wipe all these fools out.
Yeah.
And what? Boom, bing, bang, boom. Like 2 seconds later, Padme's there and her, you know, silver.
Well, that little Nabooan starfighter thing, that's a hot number. Yeah, it's like a Ferrari.
It's like a Ferrari. Okay, fine, but I mean, come on. I mean, how long did it take him to, you know, slaughter everyone in there, and then she's right there? I mean, what? He was there for 10 minutes.
All right, so this is private, irritation here. Lucas created
honestly. Dude. That's not... It's none of anybody's business. What are you, Ruby Rod from Fifth Element?
Lucas had this whole vision.
You get Lamisil for your private irritation.
Like, universe, and the movies don't go, you know, real in-depth into the technology or that. You just have to make the leap of, you know, faith.
The leap to hyper-belief
that the technology exists to move these ships across the galaxy and stuff like that. I mean, they at least go to the point to say, well, you know, TIE fighters, oh, that's a short-range TIE fighter, you know, when they're coming up on the Death Star in, what is that, Empire?
Episode 4.
Yeah, or yeah. New Hope, yeah. And they at least explained right. that by the Jedi.
What's he doing so deep in space? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
The Jedi starfighters link up with those kind of cool, turbocharger things. In
episode 6, do X-Wings make the jump to light speed in episode 6? Do they not?
I think they do.
But they weren't doing that in the other ones.
Well, right, but you'll notice.
But then Luke had to get to Dagobah in his X-Wing.
Right. But then you'll also notice that the X-Wings are a little bit bigger than the TIE Fighters, and in Episode 3, the X-Wings are actually some kind of, like, six-winged?
Yeah, it was kind like a proto-X-Wing. It wasn't quite an X-Wing yet.
Yeah. And they were a little bit smaller. It was kind of... actually, I'd hate to drive one of these starfighter things because it literally looks like you basically got a rocket strapped to your back and a couple of lasers hanging out the side. Know, there's nothing else there.
I gotta say that Obi-Wan in the episodes 2 and 3 has this little tiny ship that he must really really enjoy because he's in it like all the time.
It's like stuffing, yourself into a Yugo or something.
Well, I mean, but his butt must have really like broken in the leather, you know, and just like has the perfect, you know, ass depression or whatever for him to sit in. No. I'll take my little stupid dinky ship that I have to go into my hyperspace ring modification thing to get over there, and who cares?
All right, Mark.
What?
Nothing. I was just gonna, you know.
Say it!
No!
Marvin in Mayfield. This might not be... Oh, no. This might... Marvin, we just don't have... can't do it, Captain.
Here I am, brain the size of a planet.
This might not be what you mean by internet security, but how can I keep my adult entertainment from my kids when they use my computer?
Buy your kids a separate computer.
There's a hell of an idea right there.
$500, your kids will be real happy, and they won't know a thing.
That's true. Of course, you could go out and buy Windows 2003 server and implement policies on your home computer if you want to, so they have to log in and have severe restrictions about what they can do.
You can do that with local policies.
You probably do that with XP.
Yeah.
So you could implement some, authentication requirements so that the kids have to log in to their own account, which are severely restricted. They can't install software. They can't go anywhere but their own My Documents folder. They can only surf,
Yeah, they wouldn't even be able to launch Internet Explorer or to get online. However,
if you want them to launch Internet Explorer, you're going to have to get some kind of net nanny.
Yeah, exactly. Or get a filter-based firewall that allows you to put in keywords that filter certain content from websites. All that stuff's available. Yeah, for not too much money at all.
I think the biggest weakness in a lot of homes with kids that are using the computer a lot is that the parents just don't realize that they actually have a great deal of power. They can actually control a lot of what goes on that computer. I think what happens is that they just assume the kids know more about the computers than they do, which in a lot of ways is true, but... you can always hire people, professionals, to come in and, implement those kinds of things for you.
Dare I say that, you could also talk to your kids and kind of, educate them about stuff like this. If they do happen across something, hope that you have taught them well enough that they internally just, believe, I shouldn't be, checking this stuff out. Or I better go get mommy and figure out what the heck that is I just saw.
Did you see that thing with the dolphin?
Are you dreaming, by the way?
I might be in a parallel universe.
I can't remember what it's called.
What? Yoko's got something to say here.
I was just wondering what kind of alter universe Dork Almighty might be living on, because the minute my parents said, oh, you shouldn't listen to that,
I've had
watch that or look at that. I mean, how tempting.
I know for a fact that when I caught some boobies on the TV, I didn't go running off to mom and dad to let them know that I just, you know, mom, dad, there's boobies on the TV. No, it was more like look both ways and then, you know.
I can't remember what it's
creep
called.
Creep closer to the television.
There's this software that gives the kids a little panic button, and when they see something they know they shouldn't, they press it, and it locks the computer, and it puts up a little screen with a cute dolphin and tells them to go get their parents. And it's a method of putting the control in the kids' hands to let them make the decision about when they're seeing something they shouldn't.
Very
like
interesting.
Just to put the dolphin in the kids' hands?
Yes.
Okay, this is going to a scary place.
All right, look. Here's the point. The point is that parents, you actually have the power, okay? It's your computer. You can, if you have some older machine with like Windows 98 on it or something, it's probably going to be a lot harder to do. But if you have Windows XP, you really can implement a number of security measures that can really restrict what your kids can do with the computer. And of course,
we're always here to help you if you don't know exactly what to go get. And we'd be more than happy to talk about NetNanny, which is sure. A very long-standing...
NetNanny or things like that.
Or internet filtering. Mm-hmm.
There's keystroke loggers and things like that. I've seen those. They log every keystroke, and they kind of take a stop-action film of everything the kid does on the computer,
and even AOL has parental controls, which is a fairly decently implemented control system. It's just like locking out the Playboy channel on your satellite dish from the kids.
Heresy.
Well, I wouldn't lock it out from Irv, but you know.
I'll find a way around it. All right, here's the thing. We were supposed to talk about online security again. We didn't. But just in case, I don't call that internet. Here's the thing. and this isn't going to reassure you at all, but almost 700,000 account information was illegally sold to someone.
Claiming to be
from a collections agency. Mm-hmm. And someone got awfully rich off of this, and I think some people are going to go to jail. And the banks that were affected were, let's see, it was Bank of America, Wachovia, PNC, and something Commerce Bank or something like that. And, They're responding quickly to this. Well, but this just goes to show you that, you know, security isn't just that little yellow lock in the right-hand corner of your internet browser. It's a human thing. Security is a human thing. And, these banks, I'm sure, spent a great deal of money locking down their websites and making sure that nobody could, steal your information. But guess what? From the inside, that's how it went. It was an inside job.
And let's leave people with a little bit of a warm and fuzzy. The banks involved are sending out notices to all of the account holders who have been compromised, as well as they've already taken internal actions with the people involved and are working, cooperating with police forces to resolve the matter.
All right, and so next week, maybe, hopefully, we'll talk a little bit more about it. Maybe we'll talk about some other stuff. What Bill Gates had to say, that cell phone is going to beat the iPod and all that kind
of
stuff.
Wayne's World.
All right, we love you, Cleveland. See ya.
Party on.
Those pimps together, it was live.